Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee Talk 3.0. This is Kevin Barbaro, and we are live here at TalkingAlternative.com. Got a great episode for everybody. A couple of the topics we're going to be covering here in the next hour. In the wake of everything that's been happening, the hot news point of the week that everybody's talking about right now is Ferguson and the grand jury. We're actually going to talk about, from a media standpoint, from a journalist standpoint, we're talking ethics and journalism and the media. I've got a story to share for myself. We're gonna relate it to Ferguson. I got a special guest calling in who's also a journalist, and we will be covering that. I'm also going to give my own, Sam, unbiased, objective view on what's happened here. This is going to be the most fair and objective and unbiased opinion of what's happened in Ferguson from any talk show host on the airs. I'm telling you right now, man, because I don't get wrapped up in that stuff, okay? So I'm going to give my take on it. We're also talking about my latest upcoming starring role in a feature film that I just kind of rebooked this week. I'm going to talk about that and also a film festival that I got a movie coming out in and just another... a couple of months now. It's going to be announced on December 8th, so we're going to give a hint of that. And we'll also have the S&G Limousine Listener Question of the Week. That's going to be later on in the episode. But first, here in the studio, I have special guests. Okay, as I talked about last week, I kind of talked a little bit when Janice was here. And of course, I'm joined by my buddy Sam, who's back from Ecuador, baby. Huge, man. Can't wait to hear all the stories. And, of course, Nick the intern, who helped me out huge last week with the stats on Bill Cosby, baby. That was came with the goods. Here's the deal. I raised, for about 6 years, my parenting skills are debatable, let's be honest. And I think that the people in the in the studio right now will agree with that. I can barely take care of myself, man. Let's be real here, okay? But for 6 years, stepped up to the plate. My sister, who I love, was faced with a second huge tragedy in her life, lost her husband, and tragically, just unexpectedly at 43 years old, and had three kids, 2, 4, and 6 years old. And on Valentine's Day, which is like our anniversary in 2006, I drove down to Columbus, Ohio. I picked them up, and they came back to live with me. Now, I say that I raised them on my own, but let's be honest. The first couple of years, I was living with my girlfriend, Bree, who's wonderful and is still involved in their life. She's actually... I'm not a very good boyfriend either. Let's take my kids to explain that. She hit the bricks, man. Okay, that, rightfully so. Found a real guy, you know, to marry and have kids with. So, but she's still involved with their life. So I say I raised them on my own, but I have to give due credit that the first 2 out of the 6 years, Bree played a major role with that. But then the next 4 years, I did the best I could, Sam. Okay, but I think they turned out all right. Now, up to the mic right now, I've got Alex, and Alex is a sophomore now in high school, and dreaming of going on to college, of course. And actually, we had a scare with Alex when she was living with me. Actually, Alex almost died.
Yeah,
exactly. And what happened was she had an accident. She ruptured her small intestines. We didn't know it. Didn't find out until the next day because I went home for lunch. I thought she was home sick with the flu. It was a little more than the flu now, wasn't it, Alex?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened was I get home and her eyes were really dilated. I've never seen a situation like that before and seemed bloated. And so we took her to the hospital, the emergency room. So I figured, hey, I'll go to the emergency room. Man, the worst case scenario, it's a flu. And we just come home. We go there. They can't get a blood pressure. And then immediately all heck broke loose, man.
Yeah.
And, people running everywhere and nobody knew what was going on. And I was emotional. I could barely hold it together. The nurse kept asking me what my phone number was. I was giving my zip code time and time again. But, what ended up happening is I ended up living in the, a hospital with Alex, sleeping on this dinky little couch, man, for like a month, and she made it through. But Alex, how would you rate my parenting skills? We only have a couple of minutes here, so would you, on the scale of 1 to 10 as a parent, let's be honest.
An eight.
Okay, so there's room for improvement, but it's not too bad. Yeah. I didn't burn the house down.
No.
Yeah, okay. And how are you liking your first real trip to New York City where you got to ride the subway?
I love it. It's beautiful. It's breathtaking.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're not sure what you want to be when you grow up, but yeah. Something similar to me, right?
Mm. Of course.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to be, right? Alex, is there anybody that you want to say hello to?
My grandparents, who are probably watching or listening to this right now.
Yes, of course.
And my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. And favorite pet we ever had?
Tommy.
Tommy, yeah, of course. All right. Why don't you give the, let Nick step up to the plate here. So there's three of them, all right? The youngest is Nicholas, who's permanently attached to his cell phone here. And when they lived with me, I wouldn't let them have cell phones, Sam. Actually, they lived in the dark ages when they lived with me. And they're loving living with their mom and got their family back together because otherwise they'd be in the 1800s right now. And Nick, so Nick, you don't need to listen. There you go. You got to move this. There you go. And you're going to talk right into the microphone, okay? Hang on one second. All right. And now, this will happen. This is a recent story, actually, real quick. The other night, we stayed at my parents' house so they could go for Thanksgiving. And I slept on my dad's chair in the living room. And the kids were on, like, their the couch and, like, a foam thing, you know. And 3:30 in the morning, right? I got the my dad's reclining chair back. It's like a sleeping pill. You sit in that recliner, man, you're out, okay? So I'm laying there. And all of a sudden, about 3:30 in the morning, Nicholas pops up out of nowhere. Boom, popped up. Started running for the front door. And he's going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And he gets to the front door. He's about ready to open the front door. He's in his pajamas and bare feet. I reach my arm out and I grab him. And I stop him before he goes out the door. And here's a little thing for everybody listening out there. The myth, when they talk about somebody sleepwalking, which was what was happening here, they say, don't wake them up. You know what I mean? And I always kind of thought that was kind of BS. I thought that was just a wives' tale. Don't wake them up. Here's the deal. You really shouldn't wake somebody up that's sleepwalking. And I'll tell you why. What ends up happening is they're trapped. When you wake somebody up from sleepwalking, they can't tell if they're awake or asleep. They're trapped in this middle world here where he couldn't tell if he was awake or if he was asleep, and he was scared. You were scared, weren't you, Nick?
Yep, totally scared.
Yeah. So what were you imagining? What were you seeing when I woke you up?
Well, first of all, when I was running, to be honest, what I saw was basically some kind of stone words going over like the mattress I was sleeping on, and then more stones came on, crushed them, and said, "You." Like a deep booming voice, and then you woke me up, and everything kind of just went into 2D. Like things went to 2D. Everything looked gigantic. Reality just kind of just left my mind.
Right yeah, there. Exactly. And he kept saying, "Please wake me up, please wake," because he couldn't. But he was awake. So I thought. So he was kind of trapped in this. And even the dust particles, right? The dust mm-hmm. looked really big, and everything was kind of in slow motion until he went back to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Yeah. So what's the lesson here? Don't wake somebody up, right?
Never.
Yeah. Never wake somebody up while they're sleepwalking. And Nick, favorite pet we ever had?
Tommy.
Okay. Least favorite?
Rock.
Yeah. Who attacked him? Okay. All right. Why don't you let your sister sit in record? All right. One more guest, man. And then we'll get to the meat of the episode. But this is my life, baby. You know what I'm saying? And so now we've got Cassandra. Okay. This is... Sometimes I can taste the saltiness. She's got the attitude, man. The middle child, man. It's always the middle child. Her mom, their mom, my sister, was our middle child also. And so I can see the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree. But Cassie, who's now the tallest of all of them, and it's going to be the tallest of all of us, I think, eventually here. All legs. And now you want to come to New York City, right?
Yeah.
How much do you love it?
I am in love.
Yeah. You can't even wrap your head around it, right? And which school do you want to go to?
I want to go to NYU or like the Fashion Institute.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, because you're a city girl, right? And your mom's not going to be real happy with that.
No.
Yeah.
She wants me to be living by her.
Yeah, but really, you need to spread your wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to cut the umbilical cord. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And, okay, last question, quick. Best pet we ever had.
Moose.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, right? That's
yeah.
What I'm talking about. Least favorite? No, or you don't have a least favorite.
Yeah, I don't have a least favorite.
Yeah. Were you guys living with me when I had the hamster?
The two hamsters?
Yeah, the one that ate each other. Yeah, so I guess those were the worst pets. All right, here we go. Okay, now we're back to reality, baby. They got their 15 seconds of fame here. But it was an exciting, Sam was an exciting time in my life. You know what I mean? The hamsters. Well, actually, I had two. All right, this is why I know that, okay, like I said, the kids made it through. Nobody died, right? Almost, but nobody died. Didn't burn the house down, so I guess I'm not a horrible parent. I had two different separate times that I tried to raise hamsters. One, we had a male and a female, ate each other. I can't even wrap my head around it. Right. So then, later on, I end up getting another one. I end up like babysitting essentially another hamster. And I realized I didn't know that hamsters need to be on the wheel. Didn't know that. Okay. Because of the energy. So anyway, the second round, it was actually somebody else's that I was watching. I gave it a carrot. Okay, another thing out there is this: people are learning right now. I'm educating dudes right now on Talking Alternative. Don't wake up sleepwalkers. Don't give a hamster a carrot. Evidently, it mouths this thing, it houses it down, right? And then it has so much energy that literally it dies of a heart attack. So. I was watching this hamster, and then I gave it a carrot, it died. So don't let me watch your pets. I guess that's another key here. But anyway, the rest of the episode, we're going to be talking. I got a good buddy of mine calling in here in just a few minutes, Kevin Beck, and we're going to be talking about ethics and journalism, and particularly the media coverage of what's happening in Ferguson. I'm going to give my take on Ferguson, which, like I said before, is the most unbiased, objective, fair view of the entire thing. I've been listening to talk radio constantly, particularly lately. Matter of fact, I called in to the Geraldo show today, and I said what I wanted to talk about. Dude hung up on me. Apparently, it was too fair. I'm not even kidding you. And but I was on another show yesterday, and I gave an opinion, and that one at least they listened to my fair opinion. But we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the listener question of the week for S&G Limousine, and also we're talking indie films, baby. I mean, what else are we going to talk about? I mean, that's what the show's about. Actually, what the show's about is me, Sam, and we're going to be talking about me here in a couple of minutes. So listen, everybody, we're going to be right back with Coffee Talk 3.0 here on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Bonjour, this is Dominique Decoq.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Hassania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French, New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is their common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds, or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French, New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro. And I did, Sam had a great question when the kids just got off the air in the commercial break there. I asked them what their favorite pets were. Actually, those were all dogs. because one of them's name is Moose. We didn't literally have a moose as a pet, but Moose was a beagle. And he was the least favorite. He's one of those things, you either loved him or you hated him because he just had a ton of energy. And Cassie loved him. I wouldn't say the others hated him, but he was annoying, being honest. So anyway, we're talking about ethics and journalism. And I've got my buddy calling in here. He's calling all the way from Colorado. So hopefully he'll be able to connect through here in a couple of minutes. But, you know, one of the things that I find really interesting about this, about what's going on here, and I'm a journalist. This is why we're covering it. I mean, journalism, obviously I'm a broadcast journalist, but I've also been a print journalist. I've owned my own publication. I'm a pretty big stickler for being fair. Okay, that's a big deal to me. And really what you see now, what is gone in all of this, that journalism, journalists, the media, somewhere along the line, it's no longer about really just giving us the facts. It's no longer about disseminating information and being fair. You know, there are no Walter Cronkites out there left. You know what I'm saying? Now it's about for-profit cable news networks. Okay, they're not there to lose money. They're there to make money, and in doing so, they need ratings. And in needing ratings, that's where this is coming about, where you have, they're sensationalizing the situations. And really, this is what I feel bad for. You know who I feel bad for? I feel bad for the entire community of Ferguson, Missouri, because they're being exploited to the point where they don't even realize, I think, how exploited they are being by the media and by people who are seeking out the media. Okay, you've got political activists, religious activists that have inserted themselves into the situation as they've done many, many times before. Listen, they're not there if they don't think that this is going to benefit them. And that's just being real about it, okay? I made the comment yesterday. I said, being fair in the entire situation, had Michael Brown lived, would some of these religious and political activists be in Ferguson, Missouri right now? I don't think so, because what would be going on right now is the fact that he would be in jail and he would be tried. He would be awaiting trial for allegedly attacking a police officer and assaulting a police officer. That's what he would be in jail for right now, allegedly, you know, because we don't know really what the facts are. We know different people's accounts of what they think that they saw or feel that they saw, but we don't really know what the facts are because we have no real video evidence of the facts, which I do think that in terms of something good coming out of this, I hope. I do see possibly more of a movement here for us to see more video cameras on the police officers and the vehicles. I was actually stunned by that. I don't know how you guys feel, but like I was stunned that a police cruiser in any town in America would not have a dash cam. I mean, you know, I see YouTube videos all the time, like in Russia, you have all these cars and every accident is basically caught on tape in Russia now. Every car's got a video cam. I mean, how expensive could it really be, you know, for them to put a dash cam on there, even if it's got no sound? You know, you just have something to look at, you know? And so really what's happened is you have so many different media outlets now, print and internet and television, cable. You have so many out there right now that, and as Sam just gave me a note here, when he was in Ecuador, which I can't wait to hear about for the last few weeks, every taxi had a dash cam in it. In Ecuador, okay, we're not talking about the most developed country in the world here, okay, but yet every cab in Ecuador has got a dash cam, but every police car in America doesn't have a dash cam. How do you not have a dash cam, you know? And so anyway, you find now with the media and this is actually what happened to me. We've talked many times. I've been very honest about me screwing up my former career being unethical, doing dumb stuff, and having to resign, and it being very public. And what ended up happening when I resigned from the University of Toledo, you found two different types of media covering my situation. You found what I feel was ethical and honest and as unbiased as they could be, which was the local newspaper. Okay. Local newspaper, the Toledo Blade. I mean, it was big news, man. I was front page of the Blade 2 days in a row. And then subsequently I was front page of the Blade several other times covering the situation. And then you had the sensational side of everything that was going on. And which was Deadspin.com and their article, and you had subsequent articles that were jetting from that. Okay, and so on the line right now with me, a longtime friend of mine. We were college teammates together. We were college roommates together, and he's actually gone on to be a longtime senior writer for Running Times. He's a journalist for several other major monthly publications. He's a book editor and a former journalist and newsroom of a daily newspaper. And that's Kevin Beck calling from Colorado. Kev, how are you, brother?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How about you?
You know, I'm just living the dream, baby. Come on, man.
Well, I knew that much.
Yeah, you see my Facebook, bro. But
which one?
Yeah, exactly. All nine of them. but listen, I was actually just starting to touch on the subject about the media's coverage of Ferguson, and actually kind of relating it to two different types of journalism. With my situation, I know you're well versed in this, seeing as how you're co-writing my book Green Red Green with me. You know the deal here. You had a very fair way of handling my situation, which was Ryan Atulo, the who's now in Austin for the Austin newspaper, covering University of Texas athletics. But he was at the Toledo Blade covering University of Toledo. Very fair, I thought. Kev, what did you think?
I thought it was very fair, but it gets back really to publications that have some oversight versus the so-called new media, which in a lot of cases is just a euphemism for say what you want, spread rumors and hope they don't, you know, that behavior doesn't come back to bite you in some way.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I think there are two issues really at the forefront when it comes to breaches of journalistic ethics. For one thing, you've got people who may want to make a name for themselves, which in a way has been increasingly easier because of the advent of all these online-only publications, and some of them are very serious business, like the Huffington Post or the Daily Kos or things like that. So there's more so-called positions available, more avenues for people to pursue if they want to get their name out there.
Right.
On the other hand, you can argue that there's more competition because of this. You know, if there are a million blogs out there versus five, then how do you get yourself out there? Anyway, my feeling is that I was going to say that it's one thing to want to make your mark in the world of journalism, and most people want to do that. Most of the writing that I've done is of the non-controversial variety. You know,
I think we lost him. Kev, you're going to want to call back here real quick. We just lost the feed on that. But touching on what Kevin was saying, you know, you've got a situation where you have basically every blogger out there, and I'm not knocking bloggers, okay? Because I think there's a real need and a benefit to having bloggers out there disseminating the information and the different subject lines that they cover. Bloggers are great, but you have to understand when, and we got Kev back here, people don't understand the line. I don't consider blogging necessarily to be on the same par as ethical journalism. I think that they're two different things, and you have bloggers that are trying to pretend that they're journalists, right, Kev?
Yeah, well, I'll cut to the chase of what I was saying earlier. People who are hoping to get their names out there are still bound by the same ethical principles in theory than anybody else is. I mean, Ryan Atulo was a sports writer, yet nonetheless he worked for the Toledo Blade, and therefore sports writers may not come into run afoul of ethical quandaries at the same rate as a political writer might.
Right.
In this case, it was handled wonderfully because there was editorial oversight.
Exactly.
I think that people believe, and often with good reason, that they can get away with doing things when it comes to hot button topics that otherwise wouldn't fly. For example, let's say in your situation, you've got someone who's obviously got an axe to grind when it comes to college coaches or any coaches who are, in her words anyway, sexual predators. And then you've got a real serious issue with the article.
Oh, looks like we lost him again. What Kevin's getting at here is, you know, part of the reason why, and I've said this before, part of the reason why I resigned, I let the boundary between myself and I dated one of my college athletes, and that's kind of where, you know, and we're talking about grown women here. We're not talking about high school, man. And so anyway, you've got this journalist. Her name is Rachel Sturch. She went out and wrote an article. And she used an article written on a gossip website about me as the primary source of information for her article. And, not even taking into account the fact that the article that she was using as her primary source, wasn't true. It wasn't true. And so what ended up happening is she writes another article. She uses me to sensationalize another article that she had written. And I had already told her that the article that she wrote about me originally, that she used an online gossip website as her primary source of information, wasn't true. She never responded.
There were many layers of impropriety here. For one thing, if you rely on Deadspin for anything, then right there, I mean, that's probably worse than Wikipedia, because Deadspin doesn't even feign objectivity. You know, they want site hits. It's basically for site impressions and nothing more than
they,
that.
They tout the fact that they are a rumors website. They
right.
They're probably,
if nothing else, they don't pretend.
No, exactly, man. You know, at least they're honest about it, bro.
I mean, you know, they're like Dennis Rodman. I mean, love him or hate him, I mean, you are what you see. So here you've got someone who is, for one thing, going to get a lot of sympathy or a lot of, you know, when you're writing about stuff like sexual predation, you know, and some of it's legitimate, like these coaches that are making advances or in some cases apparently raping 12 and 13-year-old girls.
Right,
okay.
the swimming, USA Swimming article she wrote, which was legitimate.
But when you conflate that with what happened in your situation, and on top of that, you don't even tell the truth, you rely on your own inaccurate article, some of the onus for that has to fall on Outside Magazine, because I think that in a lot of cases, the editors there wouldn't simply take a journalist at her word. If that had been a story in isolation, say about you,
right,
there would have been a lot more fact-checking. But in this case, I think that a lot of the fact-checking was probably devoted to the more the heart-wrenching, whatever you want to call it.
The more pressing part of the article.
About the swim coaches.
Yeah.
And so this sort of offhanded throwing in there of another name, really underhanded. And I'm quite sure she knows that she did it, too. And
well, she has to.
Obviously, you know,
blew her up.
She does. And I mean, you and I both made this person aware of that on Twitter. So, you know, there's no hiding from that. And that kind of pattern, I mean, if you're going to try to stake a journalistic reputation, then by all means pursue whatever subjects you want. Make them as controversial as you want. But you still have to demonstrate some level of integrity, because at some point, moving up the chain, you're not going to get away with that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Hey, Kev, hang on 1 second, buddy. Hold that thought.
Like, we're going to look at the flip side of this.
We're going to be right back. It's talkingalternative.com.
Someone is dirt, and we're talking about police.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Mm-hmm. I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm here on the line with my buddy Kevin Beck. This is Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro. And Kev, sorry to cut you off there. I know you grabbed a landline. You probably couldn't hear what we were saying, but I hope you're still with me, right?
I'm still here.
Yeah, okay.
And I have no idea how long I went on perseverating after I was no longer on the radio, but
well, you didn't pull a Strom Thurmond, you know. You weren't rocking 24 straight hours here, but basically to wrap up about the journalism, and I wanted to tie it to Ferguson real quick, and then I'm going to get off the line with you and give my version, the most fair and unbiased opinion on talk radio about what happened in Ferguson. But basically what we're getting at here, to sum everything up for me, regardless of my situation, the main thing that got me upset this last week, and this is what I'm going to have you close with, the main thing that got me upset this week is when I saw that the New York Times had published the home address of Officer Darren Wilson. Okay, I don't. At that point, then it's just like, I guess this is just a free-for-all. I guess this is just, let's just do whatever we want. And because we're writing about something that we perceive to be good, then we're going to get like this out. And even if our information isn't 100% correct, or even if our information could be potentially damaging the dude's home address, then let's just do it. Let's just make a name for ourselves. I don't understand where we are with that. What do you think?
Yeah, and I wasn't even aware that that had happened. I knew that Darren Wilson's home address had been published somewhere, but I didn't realize it was the New York Times.
The Times, man.
Okay, this is what's really disturbing about all of this. The whole situation in Ferguson, you know, a city of 20,000 people no one had ever heard of until 4 months ago.
Exactly.
And this has been going on for 4 months.
No, exactly.
Now we're seeing... there's no longer any pretense about what media outlets are, what they do. There's the liberal media and there's the conservative media.
Exactly.
And most of these media entities are glad to assume those titles,
yeah,
and run with it. And so, yeah, the New York Times is the last publication on the planet that needs to establish a reputation of any sort or get its foot in the door. You
right.
know,
they're,
sort of
they're
like
a primary
the president
source.
President saying, well, I really want to run for high office. I mean, if they're doing stuff like that knowingly, then yeah, free-for-all is the only word that comes to mind. I mean, that is ludicrous. Okay, what we're seeing, obviously, you've got certain outlets that are they're publicizing the violent protests and the riots.
Right.
So as to portray the residents of Ferguson as savages and animals.
Exactly.
Okay, those are mostly your conservative outlets.
Correct.
And then you've got some outlets on the other side trying to cover the peaceful protests and you know, look at the more productive aspects of this in as much as there are any.
Right.
And very little in between.
Very little in between. Almost no in between.
It's just very disturbing, you know. And then you've got this sideshow with the Ku Klux Klan's Twitter account being hacked by a bunch of computer hackers.
Yeah.
Which is really the most entertaining, the only funny thing about all of this. But realistically, Yeah, it's very easy to find and disseminate damaging information about people now, true or false.
True or false, yeah.
And right now, that's why I don't, other than just pure video footage that I might see about what's going on in that town, I don't really judge anything to be trustworthy. I mean, I know it's a horrible situation. I know that there have been a lot of cover-ups. It's clearly a redneck police department of long standing. You know, Darren Wilson did change his testimony multiple times. So, and I also question the decision to release or to announce whether or not this guy was going to be indicted at night. I mean, what kind of foresight or lack thereof does that take?
Yeah, that It's like, let's pick the time of day where we would most likely have our town burned down at night.
That's good. What do you think? They're just going to go to sleep. Oh, that sucks, but I'm beat. You know,
yeah,
we'll
yeah, it's like,
no,
it's 9 o'clock, you know.
Morning comes early.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Yeah, basically, my friend Liz Britton, who's got her own blog at Training on Empty and deals with a lot of different stuff, just brought up a term to me, riot porn. That's really what it's all about.
Totally, man. Yeah.
You know, porn being the operative word, really, because that's become a catch-all for anything that to get people titillated.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be sexual. But, yeah, anything that tugs at people's emotional heartstrings here.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. It's crazy with humans, baby. Humans.
Yeah.
That's why I only trust dogs.
Yeah, for the
dogs and cats, man. Yeah. Hey, Kev, thanks
for... I was just out running, and I saw a weird thing. It was a completely unruly guy, unfriendly, and he had a beautiful golden retriever with him. You don't really see that. Usually you see pairings that are more demeanor appropriate.
Right, yeah, yeah, a docile
like a
guy.
A nasty, mangy pit bull type of dog with an unruly person. But
right.
The guy, I don't know, it was just weird.
Yeah, he's walking around with like a lop, lops, you know, but yet he's cussing uncontrollably. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
You know, a guy with Tourette's with a really like a seeing eye dog or something. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, Kev, listen, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you calling in. I'll definitely have you on the show again in a couple of weeks, brother. All right, thanks
cool.
a lot. Hey, so that's former teammate, former roommate, longtime buddy, and co-writer of Green, Red, Green with me, Kevin Beck. But, you know, getting back to the whole thing, like Kevin said, it really, the media is just, it's either liberal or it's conservative. And there is no longer, because that's the way it used to be, was you went to the news to get the information. And then you were able to form your own opinions about what was going on. You know what I mean? And so, you know, the more I was listening, you know, I called into a talk show yesterday here in the city. I won't say what show it was, but very far to the right. Let's just say that. One of those shows where they're so far to the right, they don't even, I think, realize that the left exists. They think the left is like a fantasy world or something, you know? And so I called in and I wanted to make, I basically wanted to make two points, you know, one of which was, I think that people are just using this and they're exploiting the people and they're going in there. And would they really be there had he not been killed? And then the other point that I was making, which they seemed to not really care about, and basically he cut me off because I, you know, you tell the person what you're going to say, you know what I mean? And then they get you on and then you get a chance to say it, was to be fair in all this, Darren Wilson was issued a stun gun. He was issued a taser, okay? Now, evidently, you're not required to wear the taser at the Ferguson Police Department, but he was issued a taser. He testified in the grand jury proceedings that he didn't have his taser that day because he doesn't like the way it feels on his hip. Now, being fair, okay, now, I don't know what happened in that car. I don't know what happened in terms of why, because the real question is, why would a young guy like that be so defiant towards a police officer? What are the reasons for that going back? And I think that being fair, as a white guy in America, we, as other white guys and women in America, we have to assume some of the blame here. Remember I talked before here on the show, I said, you know, I didn't deserve everything that happened to me when I resigned. I didn't deserve to be lied about, but I screwed up. That's the point where you trace it back. And from the point where you trace it back, where you screw up, you have to accept the responsibility for everything that happens after that, whether you think you deserve it or not. You're to blame for that, okay? That's why I took the high road. That's why I now go and speak to athletic departments around the country about you need to be ethical. Don't hand somebody the bullets and the gun to be able to fire at you by being unethical, because from the point at which you're unethical, after that, you're responsible for your own undoing. Taking that same approach to life and society, now I'm no sociologist, okay, but I do know that the people of, you know, to be fair, and really, I'm kind of a middle-of-the-road guy, Sam, here, because I love all people, man. I love the whole rainbow, man. You know, it's just, I'm all about that. I'm all about living and people, you know what I mean? And you've got a police department that has 3 African-American police officers out of 53 cops, okay? That, to me, is stunning, okay? And so I don't know what the racial makeup previous to this is, but I can't imagine it was much different. Let's be real here, okay? So if you've got an 80% predominantly black community that's being policed by a 95% predominantly white police force, there's going to be tension. There's going to be animosity, and it's going to be passed down. Okay, I wasn't around yet. I was born in 1970, but I do know, I'm a bit of a history geek, I do know about the race riots in the 1960s, okay, including in St. Louis, okay, particularly East St. Louis and that whole area there, okay. I do know that mistrust comes from somewhere. Okay, and it's going to be in Michael Brown's grandfather's life, and that's the way that he was, the environment he grew up in, which obviously is going to dictate the environment that his son grows up in and dictate the environment that Michael Brown himself grew up in. And that mistrust would lead to this defiant confrontation that really could have been avoided. We, as a society, could have avoided this a long time ago, okay? And so, you know, when you look at this entire situation, and I know that we're going to go to commercial here in a second, but you look at this entire situation, no one deserves to die. That's the way that I look at it. Now, I'm not going to get in this giant diatribe about like the death penalty or whatever, but the way I look at it is I feel bad for him and his family and the community that he confronted the police officer, okay? I think that the officer didn't need to kill him. That's the way it is. But I don't, it being fair, I don't think that he necessarily tried to kill him. I don't know that. You know what I mean? I don't know that. But the fact that he didn't have his taser when he was issued a taser, and I don't know if they're required to use them or not, or wear them or not, that to me is a really big kink in the armor here. As you're moving forward to a wrongful death potential suit here. But in any event, I'm going to be back here in a minute. I'm going to wrap up my thoughts here on Ferguson, and we're going to go to the S&G Limousine question of the week, which is a much lighter topic, okay? And then we'll move on from there. So I'm Kevin Barbaro. This is Coffee Talk 3.0, and you're listening to TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
Bonjour, this is Dominique Decoq.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Asania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is their common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening here on TalkingAlternative.com. We're talking about, I'm wrapping up my thoughts here, my fair and unbiased objective view on what's happening here in Ferguson, what happened actually, as far as we know, in terms of the altercation that ultimately led to the death of the young guy, Michael Brown. And then we're going to be talking here also, we got the listener, S&G Limousine listener question of the week. So to get back to what I was saying, I don't think, obviously, being fair on both sides. On the one side, being fair, it's obvious that there was an altercation between Michael Brown and the officer inside the vehicle. His DNA's inside, that didn't just magically appear, okay? The fact that he had his hand on the officer's gun, that was no accident, okay? But the officer would have had to have unholstered, being fair to the other side, while he was in the car, Officer Wilson had unholstered his weapon inside the vehicle. Otherwise, it would be impossible for Michael Brown to have his hand on the weapon inside the vehicle and to be shot. So obviously, he unholstered it. Now, had the officer had a taser, which he had been issued, he could have tasered Michael Brown through the window, non-lethal, when Michael Brown started to attack him, and that would have actually solved the problem right then, okay? And being fair, Michael Brown takes off, he gets out, and he starts chasing him, okay? Now, I get chasing after him in terms of making sure that you constantly know where he is, because I think that is one of the things that police officers have to do. That's why you see foot chases. You don't see police officers chasing people in their car, because you could jump into somebody's yard in a half a second and the police officer's stuck in his vehicle. So that's why you see foot chases all the time. Anybody's ever watched Cops, man? You know, they always get out of the car and chase on foot because cars can't go everywhere, okay? So I get chasing after him, but if you're that afraid of him, being fair, if you're that afraid of him, if you're so intimidated by him, and let me say something also real quick. I'm a pretty tough guy, okay? Now, I'm like 5'9", I weigh about 185 pounds. I'm not afraid of a 6'4", 290-pound guy. I'm not afraid. Now, I'm going to be nervous. Let's be real. Now, I'm going to be nervous, but I'm not even a cop. I'm not afraid of that fight. Now, maybe I'm going to lose that fight. I don't know. But I know that I can at least hold my own for 90 seconds, right? Which is all it would have taken for the backup to get there if that's what I'm doing. So if I'm that afraid, why am I chasing him to the point where I'm so close to him that there can be a confrontation if I'm that afraid, right? And then being fair on the other side, yeah, he already had assaulted a police officer. And police, you don't assault the police. I mean, let's be honest, like that, being fair to that side, police officers have, police have to have that authority or we live in anarchy. The police have to be held at a higher standard, okay? If they tell you to do something, even if you disagree with it, you do it. I think that everybody kind of agrees with that, okay, for the most part. Then you have people out there say, well, he should have, he didn't have to shoot him and kill him. He could have just shot him. Okay. Now, that's so ridiculous to me that I'm a hunter. Okay. I'm a hunter. I'm an outdoorsman. I actually went hunting one time. A buddy of mine had a 50 caliber handgun. Now, you're allowed in Vermont, excuse me, in Ohio to hunt with a handgun as long as it holds no more than 5 bullets and it has to have at least a 6-inch barrel, okay? So you're not out there with like a 9mm and 16 shot clip, you know, plugging deer, right? It's a 50 caliber, and a caliber is the percentage of an inch in diameter the bullet is. So when you say a 50 caliber, that means that the width of your bullet is a half an inch, 0.50. Okay? That's a gigantic bullet. Okay? And so a 50 caliber handgun is incredibly difficult. Now, it's way more powerful than a 9mm. Okay? But at the same time, hitting a moving target. Okay? People are like, why didn't he shoot him in the legs? Okay. That, you would have to be such a marksman to do that. Police officers don't fire their weapons very often. They fire their weapons at a target. They don't fire it at moving targets. It's just a piece of paper. You know what I mean? Because their goal is to not have to use their guns. Okay? It's not like a military person or a sniper. You know what I mean? So when you're firing that fast, and we have heard the audio tape of how quickly he was firing off the rounds. He fired a few rounds, stopped, fired again. When it's pop, 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 just it was that fast. Okay? Really. And what people don't understand, too, if you've never fired a gun, you don't understand this. And I'm telling you, as somebody who's fired a gun thousands of times, when it comes to a handgun or a shotgun, you don't aim. There is no aiming, okay? You don't aim a pistol or a 9mm or even if I was shooting, you know, with that 50 caliber handgun in the woods, you're not aiming, you're pointing. And there's a big difference there. You're not taking the time to close one eye and kind of, you know, put through the sights. You're just firing, okay, because that's what it's designed to do. A handgun is designed to be fired, not aimed, okay? And that's why there's 16 clips in a 9mm, because it's just pop, 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 pop. You're just trying to, you're basically spraying bullets, hoping to hit something. So I don't necessarily know that the officer tried to say that he put the kill shot through his head on purpose. That's not actually accurate, because you don't aim. Okay. He wouldn't have been aiming for his head. He's actually just firing quickly, hoping to stop the advance, and to be fair on that end. So, you know, really getting back to what I started off with here, I think to be fair, what needs to change, obviously, I do think that we need the cameras, and I hope that change comes about with this. I do think, which Geraldo was talking about on his show earlier today, was that every police officer should have a taser. I do believe in that, too. And tasers these days, too, are you point it and shoot it like a gun, and it's it's connected by these wires that conduct the electricity, 50,000 volts, right, or however many it is. And so you're accurate within about, 8 to 10 feet with those things, and you could stop somebody pretty quickly. I think unless the other person has a gun, the first thing you reach for should be the taser, okay? And hopefully that's a change that maybe comes about. And I think that another change that comes about in all of this is the relationship between the police forces in these high minority towns and cities. You know, Newark is another example of, you've got an incredibly high percentage of Black and Latino neighborhoods, and you have very few minority police officers, okay? Very few. Okay, so getting back to the listener question of the week for S&G Limousine. If you got needs, if you're going to the airport, point to point, you're heading to the city, you got the prom, you got a wedding, you need to call S&G Limousine, and the number to there is 516. Here we go. 516-833-6455. That's 516-833-6455. They sponsored the question of the week. Question of the week actually comes this week from Ida from Malvern, New York, which I think is on Long Island, actually. Any tips on the best way to memorize sides or scripts? Great question. Okay. And I think I actually may have mentioned this before, but when I was in my very first play, I played Father Flynn in a production of Doubt. and huge play. There's only three actors, well, basically like three and a half, because you have one actor that's only in for a very small amount of one of the scenes. But 68-page script, okay? And I had never been in a full production before, okay? This was the best advice that I was given, and this is the advice that I give to anybody that asks me. Don't read it. Stop reading it, okay? You need to say it, okay? And you need to say it out loud over and over again. Find somewhere where you can go that you're not going to be bothering anybody. You're not going to be embarrassed to say. What I did when I was trying to memorize all, because, you know, when you're in a play, you have to memorize the whole script, not just your lines, okay? So what I did, of course, this one I was living out of my car, and there was, and I was sleeping every night at this Radisson. I was like, hey, for a homeless dude, man, I was living large, man. My car, at Radisson, go in, take some coffee, use their internet, whatever. I'd be in the back parking lot, and I would just keep walking around. I just had the book with me, kept walking around. I kept saying everything out loud over and over and over again. I read that script out loud, not even kidding you. Over 250 times I read that script out loud. That was how I would, that's the best advice I can give you. Stop reading it. Stop trying to memorize it by just listening to it in your head. You need to say it out loud, and then life is good. Quick little hitter here, and we're going to be wrapping up, but booked another starring role in a feature film. I'm going to be heading down to Washington, D.C. I've got a table read for it this weekend on Saturday. And I'm excited about this role, Sam. It is about a publishing company in the 1950s. So think John Hamm. Of course, I'm not nearly as good looking as John Hamm, but think John Hamm, right? So I'm an executive in this publishing company in the 1950s. Bit of a womanizer, not a stretch for me. Scotch lover, not a stretch, okay? And so I think I'm going to be, it likes young women. I think we can all agree, not a stretch, right? I'm excited about that. I'll have more information on that as we're coming up here. But I want to thank everybody for listening in once again, and for Kevin Beck for calling in. And if you want to hear the podcast, coffeetalk.podomatic.com. It's the top-ranked performing arts podcast here in NYC. And we're hitting the bricks here, baby. Look for us in syndication, my friends. Bye-bye.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media, My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.